My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. We are sponsored exclusively by the law firm Kondori and Murad. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you to draft a will, set up a trust, and to create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you so that you can score a discount. kmlawyers.com. On the BetQL guest hotline right now, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit betql.com. A 6-time best-selling author who's got a brand new book out, Armin Katayan's book, The Price: What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos, has been one of the biggest talks in college football industrially over the last few days, and he's kind enough to give us some time now here in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Armin, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. How long have you been working on this project, and why did you decide to write this book?
Well, it kind of dates back a couple years. I had just finished this book called A Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk with Billy Walters, the legendary sports gambler. And that book was represented by a literary agent by the name of David Vigliano. And after I had finished The Gambler book, David calls me, goes, I have a project I want you to take a look at. And as it turned out, John Talty, my co-author, had been collaborating with Paul Feinbaum, potentially on The Price. And Paul eventually just decided, workload and otherwise, that he was going to drop out of the project. And so David asked me, he was representing the same book, The Price. He asked me if I would take a look at the proposal. And, you know, frankly, Grant, I didn't know John. I knew of John. I read the proposal and it kind of reminded me, not even kind of, it reminded me of The System, a book that Jeff Benedict and I had done back in 2013, which was a deep dive into the state of big-time college football at that point in time, and what we were experiencing now, obviously, with NIL and the portal and, you know, realignment on the horizon again. It was like that made The System look like child's play. So it began really in the summer of 2022, and John had already kind of ramped up some of the SEC reporting, and I was able to bring relationships and contacts I had at other schools, Michigan and the NCAA, eventually Arizona and other places. And it turned out to be a really good collaboration because of John's institutional knowledge of the SEC. We both had relationships and long-term reporting on Nick Saban and others in the SEC. So, but it was like hopping on a speeding freight train, to be honest, because everything, as you well know, was changing. Sometimes, certainly weekly, sometimes daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes by the minute. And because of the embeds, the rare access, the behind the scenes things that we were getting, we felt really confident that we were going to be able to describe a landscape that, you know, as we say in the subtitle of the book, that was just complete chaos. And so I think we got fortunate. You know, thank God there was a deadline, because otherwise we'd still be, you know, I'm reading stuff now about, you know, the House settlement and how there's real questions as to whether that's going to be accepted in certain places. And so I think in the end, you know, a lot of things fell our way. And certainly Nick's decision to retire was a huge thing. And then Jed Fish, who's a big character in our book, is now gone from Arizona to Washington. So there was a lot of chaos. But in the end, I think we've delivered something that, at least from the early reviews and what we're seeing, is, you know, has really been very well accepted.
Oh, it's an incredible story, and in the storytelling from one of the greats to do it over the last couple of decades, Armin Katayan, with us on Grant and Danny, author, TV, film producer, 6 New York Times bestsellers. And this is a masterpiece in this genre, right, where we're still learning. I mean, you talk about how many changes there were while you were preparing the book. I mean, as we're talking in this conversation right now, there are going to be things changed and tweaked and done in college football and in college sports. But I guess let's start there. How would you describe the chaos kind of in a nutshell of the last couple of years? And where would you even begin to explain to someone who just woke up from their couple of year coma going, what happened to college football here?
What happened here?
Yeah.
Well, I would start with the title of the book, because the price has multiple meanings. It's not just the financial windfall. That price, the money that is poured into the sport, the billions of dollars now associated with grant of rights, and certainly the upcoming 12-team college football playoff. But what John and I discovered, that there was a tremendous emotional, physical, and psychological toll being taken on the people who make their livelihood and love the game of college football. They're exhausted by what they're dealing with right now, because no day is ever the same. There's always some cross current or headwind or surprise around the corner. So I think that's one thing. And I think the other thing that we have as the heartbeat of the book is that there's just a tremendous amount of greed and self-interest right now. And if you look at the chapter that we did on the destruction of the Pac-12 in a matter 108-year-old conference, the Conference of Champions, the Rose Bowl, and all those other great athletes associated with it, starting with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Tiger Woods and Bill Walton on down. And you look at what happened to that conference, it was really driven by greed, because some presidents who really didn't know what they were doing or talking about believed that their individual schools, the Pac-10 as a whole, but the individual schools, the Pac-12 as a whole, the grant of rights fee should have been $50 million a year. Now, that's Big Ten and SEC territory. And as one high-ranking ESPN executive told me, he goes, if you're talking about volleyball and swimming, well, maybe there is a comparison. But when you're talking about football, there is no comparison. And so, but when USC decided to go to the Big Ten, that was the tumbling block. That was the domino that really started everything there. And sooner or later, you know, UCLA goes, and obviously now with Oregon and Washington in the Big Ten, which really makes no sense other than the fact that Fox was willing to put up, in the case of certainly Oregon and Washington, $30 million per school in grant of rights money to get them to agree to make the change. So I think that and self-interest, everybody right now, because there is no clear picture, is most concerned about their own institution or their own conference. And that's not good for the greater good of the game. I say that understanding that, you know, last night we watched, you know, Colorado hold on to beat North Dakota State, and there's a lot of great games on. And on the field, the sport has never been, I think, more exciting and more popular. Off the field, it's never been more unsettled and turbulent. And that's going to shake out, but it's not going to shake out, I think, for a couple of years. It could be 5 years down the line before we finally figure out what, you know, a solid looking picture is for the future of college football.
Armin Katayan on Grant and Danny here on the Fan in DC. Armin, I'm curious. I think everyone lumps kind of all the changes in college football together, like the landscape over the last few years. And I was all for NIL. I thought and still think players should be able to make money off their names, just like I was able to in college if I was doing something, not as a college athlete. Having said that, is that tied to everything that's gone on with conference realignment and programs restructuring? We know that coaches are bowing out left and right because they don't want to deal with the recruiting of their own players. I have a good buddy who coaches college baseball, and you know his program was able to stay afloat because if they got some good players, everything was fine. But now he gets a good player and they have a great year, he loses them immediately in free agency.
Exactly.
Are those things tied together, or is it two different conversations when it comes to the unrecognizable conferences and NIL and the toothpaste not being able to go back in the tube?
Well, I think it starts with the control, I would say, the influence, I would say, of the media companies. You start with ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC. They're really dictating realignment. And so when you have that, when you have no control over your future, as Bobby Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, soon to be walking away because he's having a hard time dealing with his faculty senate and some of the stuff out there, and that's a great loss for Arizona. But his point was, you know, when you're at the mercy of the media companies and they're dictating your future, what conferences are going to look like, that's not a good thing. So then you have that as one, you know, pillar of the problem. And then you add in, I think the second thing would be the portal, because the portal is so chaotic and it's essentially free agency in college football and college basketball and college sports in general. And then you throw in the NIL issue and how opaque things are there. There's very little transparency right now in that market. And when someone says $500,000 here, you don't know if that number is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent at this point in time. So you're getting battered right and left and center by not just a minor force, but these are 10.0, you know, earthquakes that are hitting you time and time again. And then you just add in the uncertainty of where the solutions are coming from. They're not going to come from Congress, I can tell you that, at least not in the near term. And you have a new president who's trying, in Charlie Baker, in a very pragmatic way to bring and wrangle all these, you know, wild horses in one direction, and everybody's out for themselves. And so there really isn't any, there's no center now. There's no base to what's going on. And just to kind of shift it, just if you want to look, and it's in your backyard, Grant, if you want to look at a chapter or a couple chapters in this book that summarize where the state of a program is and how that program fits into the bigger picture, just look at Maryland and Mike Loxley. And those chapters are called Macy's 1 and Macy's. And Mike Loxley, this is his description, he finds his program in the middle. Macy's is in the middle. He's got Saks Fifth Avenue above him, and he's got...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Target below him, a discount retailer. And so the Saks Fifth Avenues of the world are the Michigans and the Ohio States and the Alabamas. We can name them all off the top of our head. Down below are programs like, let's say, UNC Charlotte with Biff Poggi, who's trying to build the program, but he's pulling players out of Maryland who want to start right away at a little bit of a lower Division I school, and he's losing players to the bigger programs who he's developed over 2 years, and they go into the portal because Maryland can't afford a $20 million NIL budget or even a $10 million NIL budget. And at the same time, as we say in the book, Coach Loxley's getting hit by his own players. Talia Tungavailoa, right before a bowl game last year, came to him, as other players did, but Talia being the big star of the team, really influenced by his father, to say, I need $50,000 or I'm not going to play in this bowl game. Now that's you can define that as extortion if you'd like, which is kind of what it is. And Mike had to find that money.
Is that where the Mike Gundy comment came from a couple weeks ago, Armin, where he said, like, it's over now?
Yeah, you got players coming in, and that's why Nick resigned. I mean, Nick's alluded to it, but clearly he had lost the one thing Nick wanted in his program. And more than anything else was control. He wanted to be able to control the process and control the development of his players and control what happens on the field. And after they lost to Michigan in the Rose Bowl in the semifinals, Nick goes down to Florida to his beachfront estate down there, comes back to Tuscaloosa. He's got a line outside his door. And that line is not from players who are wanting to talk to their coach about, okay, coach, what do I need to do in the offseason to develop? How do I get on the field? How do I get better? No, it was one after another saying, coach, if I don't get more money from NIL, I'm going in the portal. And I've known Nick and been around Nick dating back to his days with the Miami Dolphins. And I have a very good relationship with Miss Terry, his wife. And we were texting and talking during the season. And I can tell you, there was a great deal of frustration over these new rules. And you know, they just rubbed Nick the wrong way, and he didn't need the money anymore, but he didn't need the agony at this point in time. So when you look at where we are right now, you have Nick Saban out of the game and you have Jim Harbaugh out of the game for very, very different reasons, as we explain in the book. And Harbaugh's a big, and Michigan's a big part of the book. There's three chapters on that, and his Jim's battle with the NCAA and the vendetta, those are my words, that the NCAA Committee on Infractions had against Jim. But when those two singular figures are not in the game for different reasons, but they're both gone, that tells you a lot about what the state of college football is.
Armin Katan with us here on Grant and Danny. Armin, I'm a long time ago, I was a former college athlete myself, and you know, I had very little sympathy for a lot of college coaches that you kind of alluded to. Everything was set up for their convenience, I always used to argue. Like, if I wanted to transfer, regardless of the reason, sick family member or just different fit, I had to sit out a year. There are all sorts of things that were just sort of set up for them. They could gray shirt. Scholarships weren't guaranteed. There was all this stuff where they could take advantage of players for their own, you know, the benefit of their programs. Well, the pendulum has swung so far in the opposite direction where we were just hoping, hey, can I get paid $20 to take a picture next to somebody at a local sporting goods store? It's now gone, as you said, guys walking in with their hands out. So I guess ultimately my question is here, to me, the start of this or the blame should fall with the governing body that fought any kind of change. There were no rules or regs kind of set in place, and they basically started a wildfire and have no idea how to contain it.
You're absolutely 100% right. And in the book talks about the history of the NCAA's delay and denial of athletes' rights, and really going back to the days of Walter Byers in the 1950s, where he took over the NCAA as the executive director at that time and had a 36-year run where he ran that organization like a third-world despot and created out of whole cloth the words student-athlete and amateurism as for no other reason than to protect the association against workers' compensation claims. So these were not employees of the university. They were just playing for God and the good and of our country, basically. And that original lie, as it's been called, perpetrated and went on and on and on as the commercialization of college sports just exploded. And whether it was March Madness, and then it was the SEC on CBS, and then it was the Big Ten Network, and then it was the SEC Network, and on and on and on. Well, it takes you up to Ed O'Bannon and Sonny Vaccaro, and there's a chapter called Oppenheimer, which I really like, and it gives you the history here where you look at the court cases, and one court case after another, the NCAA was losing these court cases, or they were settling them, and then lawyers were making a ton of money, and no one else was making anything. And what happened was, is that the O'Bannon case finally cracked the wall and opened the floodgates, and then that led to the Alston case, which led to the House case, which led to the Supreme Court ruling, the 9-0 ruling, the unanimous ruling, that really was the beginning of NIL. And so if you want to point a finger in a direction, you know, the leadership of the NCAA from the presidents on down is a pretty good place to start.
My last one for you here, Armin, is about the players themselves. Again, I argue that NIL was about, hey, earning some extra scratch, or, you know, I could sign an autograph for $5, $10, $100. More high-profile college athletes, you know, should and deserve more. I get that. But we're now to the point where there's no collective bargaining. There's no one really watching out for these players' interests. You can be promised a lot. And you know, should an 18, 19-year-old that's, you know, trying to decide where they're going to go play to the highest bidder?
Jaden Rashada. There's a whole chapter on him and what happened at Florida in that lawsuit now.
And so do you anticipate a CBA? I mean, I guess my big question here is, who's looking out for these players in this kind of Wild West?
That's a really good question. And I don't think, you know, you have a kind of a players association with Ramaji Hoagie and people like that. But I think that all has to be settled out. And right now, Charlie Baker's trying to get a framework on NIL. He's trying to get transparency on these contracts. They're fighting in Congress for some sort of antitrust exemption. Whether that happens, it's not going to happen certainly this year or even early into next year with the presidential race and everything. But you're right. There has to be some formula, some framework in place where the universities or the conferences decide that, okay, this is how we're going to share the money. That $2.8 billion settlement, yes, there's supposedly now $20 million per school in revenue sharing. But how is that really going to work? And how do you control it so it doesn't it's not ripe for criminality, because right now some of these kids are signing these NIL deals without counsel or without advisors, and they're signing away their life rights in perpetuity, meaning that this agent or this entity now controls your life rights even if you become an NFL star, and that's a recipe for disaster. So hopefully cooler heads are going to prevail. Hopefully, self-interest will be put to the side so the greater good becomes the primary focus of these discussions. But, you know, if history is any sort of lesson here, you got to have a lot of hope that something like that's going to happen, because, you know, I think self-interest here right now is really overriding everything.
Armin, fantastic. Still working my way through it, but it has been an incredible read. I think the research is so obvious, and there's nothing else like it right now at a critical time in college football and college sports. And as we kick off this season, I think it's a must read for all of our listeners. Thank you for the time. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Anything else, though, real quick, that you would say about where people can get it or what you'd want to say that we didn't ask?
It's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's everywhere right now. I mean, and certainly Amazon is a place easily to get it, because I know that a lot of my friends have been telling me that they just picked up the book. And you know, John and I are really proud. I mean, you said, I think we hit something. It's one of the best books I've ever done, and that is saying something. Consider Tiger Woods and The System and Raw Recruits and a few other things. But I'm really proud of it. And I think if you're a college football fan and you're trying to understand this brave new world, this book goes a long way to help you do that.
It's eye-opening.
Very cool.
Thank you, Armin. We appreciate it.
Guys. Thank you.
Armin Katayan, awesome. Loved him, by the way, on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel back in the day. Next, is college football better or worse than it was 5 years ago? We'll discuss that. We want to hear from you guys on that as well on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067 is how you can join us on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.